Then WY, no! BYU men's basketball beats up on Wyoming again, but the Cougars now outside of Joe Lunardi's bracket. Are we concerned?
Huh?
On the football front, ESPN's Trevor Maddich joins us to discuss how Travis Hunter winning the Heisman impacts BYU's bowl game and his picks for the first round of the college football playoff.
Women's basketball wrapped up non-conference play with the dub at Washington State. Delaney Gibb went off. How ready are the Cougars for Big 12 play right now? And we react to A.J. DeMonta's interaction with his NBA idol, Kevin Durant.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Monday, December 16th. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who's been known to have a good mean mug, Jerem Jordan.
For some reason, early in the second half, out of a timeout, a handheld camera is on the BYU huddle against Wyoming. Mm-hmm. And it turns, and Elijah Crawford looks at the camera, and for some reason, he's just mean mugging. Check this out. I don't understand why. He doesn't even smile or wink or anything. He's just like, whoa.
He's game ready, Jerem.
That made me
laugh.
He's
in
dude.
The mode.
He had a season high 5 points, so maybe it helped. That was funny, dude. I'm watching it on my phone in my kitchen. I'm like, what just happened there?
It showed up on No Context BYU on X. Love it.
Yeah.
Love that post. Well done, Elijah.
Okay.
Gave us a good laugh on Saturday night.
Always a cheer for you here.
On that note, all rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Preseason predictions, who cares?
I think we'll be fine. We're just really focused on things that we're doing well right now.
Those three games against the Power Four teams were really important, you know, just to learn what teams are going to try to do to us. Just hoping by the time we get to that conference play that we're kind of a well-oiled machine.
BYU mean mugging, Wyoming. Men's basketball beats up on the Cowboys 68-49 on Saturday night at the Delta Center in Salt Lake City, the home of the Utah Jazz.
Jerem, and the Utah Hockey Club.
It's true. And the Utah Hockey Club until further notice, right? There might be something down the line. Conversation for another day.
No, they're planning on playing there.
Okay, yeah. We focus on the takeaways from BYU's now eighth win of the season. What's top of the list if you're putting together your headlines?
I love the role player influence on this game. So no Yegor Demon. Richie Saunders gets hurt early. Dallin Hall still trying to find the offense. So who's going to score for BYU? How about Trevin Nell? To be confused with Trevor Nell, who had a team-high 15 points, 3 of 4 from distance. Again, these are like NBA threes, too. These guys cannot shoot a college three on that court. It's got to be deep. He attacked the rim way more, by the way. He's getting to the rim. I really like it. He's not just shooting threes, although he's really good at that. He's up to 47% now. Defenders are flying at him, and so he's got an opportunity to get to the rim, but he was draining them. I love Dawson Baker's nice string of three straight double-figure games right now for BYU, all off the bench, by the way. And how about Mawit Mag, who did a great job. Season high, 11 points on 3 of 4. He's got that super high arc on his shot. He's fought through a lot. We heard that in post-game from Kevin Young. So that was cool. Yegor Demon even tweeted, hey, inspiring. I love the defense, too. Wyoming milks possession, so naturally it's going to be low scoring. Don't look at the 68 for BYU and think, what was that? 1.172 points per possession is a really good number. Defensively, 0.845.
49 points awesome. For the game.
Awesome. 49 points, yep. The possessions are going to be fewer. So 49 is impressive, but the 0.845 is more impressive. And another game with BYU shooting 50% from the field, 40% from three. This was a really good performance, all things considered, because of two starters out 1 minute into the game. Yegor's already out. Richie's out in the second minute. And so BYU had to look to other people for answers. They're going 10 deep right now, 10 players averaging at least 10 minutes a game. I liked what I saw. It was solid.
Yes, this was Mawit Mag's shining moment.
Yeah.
And this was his case to maybe get some more minutes.
Sure.
He'll see some more minutes against Florida A&M. And Kevin Young's still trying to figure out some things with injuries to some of his players and getting ready for Big 12 play, which is a little bit concerning. Talk about that in just a moment. But, hey, Mag did what he could, and he really shined bright on Saturday night. Thought he was great. Shoots a really high three-pointer. Right? He's got great form, plays great defense. We know this. So maybe he earns himself some more minutes and a closer look from Kevin Young and his staff as BYU nears Big 12 play. To your point, I love that Trevin Nell continues to be the veteran. And can we just talk about why he's not, I think, given enough credit? I feel like Trevin Nell is kind of viewed by BYU, some BYU fans, like Spencer Johnson was, an integral part, but probably doesn't get enough love. And he receives a lot of criticism when things don't go well, when he doesn't play well. If he has a bad game, it feels like it's extra loud. I feel like Trevin
People
Nell...
People are just looking for a reason to not like him? Like, what's the issue?
It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
I feel like he deserves more credit. He's been super consistent.
Yep.
And the idea that he doesn't show up in big games, I think, is erroneous. He shot almost 40% against Big 12 competition from the three-point line last year. Big 12 teams.
Yeah, he's a 39% career three-point shooter. The dude is a baller from distance.
So let's give him credit for what that is.
And is he going to have an off game? Yeah, Yegor Demin went 0 for 10. He's a top 10 pick.
Where's the hate from BYU fans for that?
He hurt his knee in the first game. But we don't need to dish out hate.
No.
Come on. People have off games, whatever. We have off shows, whatever.
Yeah, and I love Dawson Baker, to me, might be, if not the most competitive guy on this BYU team right now, he's one of the most competitive guys on the floor.
He's finding a nice rhythm right now.
He's got a great feel for the basketball, especially with the ball in his hands, working around screens. He uses his body in really, really smart, effective ways to create space and get to the rim and find alleys. He's a good passer. I think he's an underrated passer. We're seeing all of this. So while guys like Yegor Demian and Richie Saunders have to sit out, you grant bigger opportunities to Dawson Baker and Dallin Hall to get more back in the flow of what his natural game is. And then some guys like Mouet Mag. So I like the bench development. I'm with you. I feel like it's concerning that BYU does have some injuries and have had a lot of injuries this season.
Let's talk about him right now. So Dallin Hall, right, doesn't play the first four games. BYU plays kind of an easier schedule. They go 4-0. Games with Dallin Hall and Yegor Demin, they play some of the more challenging games that they had, right? Those three that were tough with Ole Miss, NC State, and Providence, they go 2-2. Games without Demin, 2-0. BYU's played one of the easier schedules in the country. Kevin Young said on his coach show Thursday night, as seen on the BYU TV app, that if he wishes he would have scheduled a little harder. But it's all good. It's about to get real hard in conference play. Don't worry. There are 10 quad ones sitting there.
20 Big 12 games.
And 8 quad twos. Interestingly, and we'll get to BYU's resume in a second with bracket concerns, but the fact that Richie Saunders gets concussed and cuts his lip open on a head-to-head in
don't
the second
Don't like that.
Minute, not good. Demin, I don't know if they're going to play him Friday or not. They don't need to against Florida A&M. You need him against Arizona State, but I don't know that BYU's really had enough time together as a full unit, healthy, to really know what we have here, Spencer. And Richie Saunders only knows one speed, so when he's in, he's got to be full go. And he's been battling nicks and neck injuries all over the place that he suffered mostly in San Diego. But he's tough, man. Well, I hope he doesn't play, frankly, against Florida A&M.
He doesn't need to.
Doesn't need to. So, yeah, it is concerning kind of the injuries and the rotation right now. I do feel like BYU's deep, which is exciting. You're not like, oh, no, you're going to have to play so-and-so that you wish you didn't have to. No, BYU's got a very capable, good roster. But, yeah, there's some concerns right now with kind of figuring out rotations. And I don't know that BYU solidified, like, yep, this is exactly who we are. And that's okay. BYU wanted to prepare for Big 12 play, and so far they're progressing. But I would say that because it's a new kind of team, new coaching staff, BYU's still figuring some things out at this point that last year they were not. They knew exactly who they were and what they did well at this point last year. They were top five, number one in net, I think, around this point last year. So it's a little different, but certainly the ceiling is higher for this group than it was last year. That's the exciting part.
Yes, there is more talent on this team,
yeah,
but it's going to take a little bit more time to develop said mm-hmm. talent, get those younger players ready. It is a luxury for Kevin Young to be able to look down his bench, and even with Yegor Demian and Richie Saunders not available and at times Dallin Hall, he could still run out the likes of a veteran in Trevin Nell, a veteran in Dawson Baker,
and Foos.
A first-round talent in Cannon Catchings. Foos Treor, Kaba Keita. And then Mouet Mag is like, oh, yeah, that guy. One of the best defenders in college basketball.
I'm a fifth-year guy that's played in the Big Ten.
So I do love that, that BYU does have that depth that is developing. But we'd be silly not to say that there isn't some concern.
Yeah,
BYU hasn't had time with all of their guys to get ready for Big 12 play.
There's some things to figure out, which brings us to this. ESPN's Joe Lunardi has BYU outside his bracket among the next four teams out. Any concern at this point?
I think it's too early to get really concerned. I don't like it. It's not fun to see BYU for the first time as of December 14th outside of Lunardi's bracket on his seed list because they've just been in. And the idea that BYU is and will be a tournament team was just almost like an afterthought. Like, oh, they're gonna be there. So to see them now not there, and then have to take a closer look at what BYU's schedule is. If you didn't know, BYU's strength of schedule, 344th in the country. It's bottom 20?
Yeah.
Out of 363 teams?
BYU doesn't have a quad one or quad two win right now.
Because NC State is not a quad two team right now. They're a quad three win for BYU.
Yeah, BYU's schedule has that's mean mugging from Dawson Baker, by the way, on this graph.
He deserves to, the way he's been playing lately.
Exactly. It's okay, and here's why it's okay. BYU's about to play in the Big 12 in 15 days. It's about to get real tough, real quick. Does BYU have a validating win to say we should be in the tournament? No. I understand why Lunardi has BYU out.
They haven't earned the right to be in it.
Correct. It's December 16th, though. It's okay. Am I sort of concerned in any way, shape, or form that BYU's out? Yeah. It's kind of weird to see BYU
out.
I don't like it either. BYU's about to play tougher competition. They'll have a chance to prove themselves, and then they'll work their way back in. And BYU will make the NCAA tournament with this team. It's just, are they going to be in a position as a seed that can make the Sweet 16? What are the matchups in that individual game? How is BYU playing? Is BYU healthy? It's like a million questions to answer, not for 3 months from now, right?
Let the Marriott Center work its magic.
Sure.
BYU on their home floor against the best of the best, including Kansas, who all of a sudden looks beatable away from home, right?
I think everyone in the Big 12 looks pretty well. Iowa State's looking pretty good. They were good last year. BYU pounded them at home.
BYU does not get the Cyclones at home this year. They only play in Ames.
That's a very tough game.
That is a
not
very
expected to win that one
game.
Yeah. So everyone that comes to the Marriott Center, Arizona, Baylor, everyone seems beatable.
Kansas, yes. BYU needs to win 10 conference games.
Heck, BYU seems beatable, right? Everyone seems beatable. Like, you've got to find a rhythm. You got to get healthy. You got to figure some things out.
Win 10 conference games, and you're dancing.
Yeah.
Because that would put BYU, after they beat Florida A&M, at 19 wins before they go to the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City and have an opportunity for an 11th. Or more, whatever. I'm just putting out an ancillary number.
A 20, perhaps 21st win, if not more.
It's a hypothetical number.
Yeah.
But if you win 10 Big 12 games, you will be in the NCAA tournament.
Yes. And remember, last year was 10-8 for BYU.
Go 10-10
this year. I think
in
our minds, we think it was like 12-6 or 13-5. It was 10-8 in league.
This team is good enough to go 8-2 at the Marriott Center and win 3 or 4 games on the road and finish with a winning record in the Big 12.
Yeah.
They're good enough and deep enough. There's enough talent there.
Yeah.
And we believe that it will gel, that it will get better as the season progresses.
Like, we have not seen – we've only seen Cannon Catchings be, like, very good. Very good.
A couple of
in
games.
Two games, maybe. Like, once he sort of figures it out, I think the ceiling goes way up. He is the key to this season. It's not Yegor Demon to me. It's Cannon Catchings. Because we know what we're going to get with Yegor. We haven't seen it consistently with Cannon yet.
Sure.
Kevin Young said it preseason. He can take us to another level. I'm excited to watch him.
I love it. And I would add maybe a 1B to that, to how Dallin Hall and Yegor Demian work together. Like, I'd like to see that really benefit BYU. But Cannon is the secret sauce and can be. Like, he was good against Ole Miss. BYU was in that game in position to win that game because Cannon was really good.
On fire.
That is right.
Yep.
Get him ready for Arizona State on New Year's Eve.
He's trying to find it from three right now, still.
Our question of the day. Do you believe, let's see.
Any concern that BYU...
any concern that BYU is not in Joe Lunardi's bracket right now, okay? First response in from WD Heath 40 on X, who says no. They haven't played a lot of strong teams yet. Haven't won all of those games. If they do play well in conference, they'll be fine. They'll probably gel more by that time anyway and be able to perform closer to their potential by that point of the year.
Yeah, you work up to that. But you need to be playing well in 15 days. You have to beat Arizona State at home. Remember last year, BYU started league play with a loss to Cincinnati. If you don't lose to Cincinnati, maybe you get an even better seed. Who knows? Like, every game matters, right? You've got to really show up. Continue to weigh in on Facebook and Instagram.
All right, let's move on. Colorado wide receiver / defensive back, the most notable and best two-way player in college football, one of the very few. Travis Hunter wins the Heisman Trophy on Saturday night. Jerem, straight up, do you think the Heisman voters got it right?
I do. He was so good on both sides of the ball, it's hard to deny, right? It wasn't like He was great on one side of the ball and then just kind of played it on the other. You know, we've seen players like him before, but not at this level. He was amazing on both sides. Smallest margin, by the way, of Heisman victory since 2009 when Mark Ingram beat out your boy Toby Gerhart.
15 years.
Genty was on more ballots than Hunter by 1.7%, which is interesting. Obviously, more first place votes for Travis. But yeah, I think they got it right. In an average year, Ashton Genty wins the Heisman. But this wasn't an average year. You had two outstanding, incredible performers as opposed to just a quarterback who puts up a bunch of numbers. This was kind of fun that it was non-quarterback this year.
Yeah, I'm always in – honestly, I'm almost always in favor of when it is a non-quarterback. It just makes it more interesting for me.
Yeah.
To break down who deserves the Heisman Trophy. Dylan Gabriel, by the way, at Oregon finishes third.
Yeah.
But way below.
Which was sort of a career achievement
Hunter and
thing
Genty.
For him.
Yeah.
It's like when Lord of the Rings Return of the King took home everything. It was like, well, Fellowship and Two Towers didn't win a ton. Now you're giving it to the whole trilogy. Like Dylan Gabriel's career, obviously, of 17 years in FBS, it feels like. Remember when BYU played Dylan Gabriel in the 2020 Boca Raton Bowl. It's 2024.
Destroyed them. His first team of three.
But I typically say beware the three-team guy.
He's the exception.
But he's exceptional.
He is the exception.
He is a good dude.
Frankly, when guys transfer to Oregon, they're doing great things. Bo Nix, now Dylan Gabriel.
You don't have to preach to me about Oregon.
Man, oh, man.
Lived in the 503.
I think the committee absolutely got it right. Yeah. Travis Hunter is the most dynamic, most outstanding, most unique superstar in the game. I love that Ashton Genty won the Maxwell Award because that's the most valuable player in college football, and I think he is the most valuable player to his team of any player to his team in the entire country.
Again, in an average year, he would have won it. He's putting up Barry Sanders-like numbers. Like, we haven't seen a running back like him in a minute.
Incredible. Travis Hunter is such a unique star. And, I mean, his numbers for a team that was not supposed to be good this year and then all of a sudden were good are well-deserving.
If Deion Sanders isn't his coach, does he win the Heisman?
I don't think that's closer. I still think he has a shot, but I think the popularity contest – and the notoriety for Coach Prime pushes him over
it
the top.
It has to do with Deion a little bit,
too. Yeah, sure.
Like, the shine off Prime glows bright, especially among the voters. It's pretty interesting. But congratulations, Travis. That's Big 12. That's Big 12 Heisman.
It's a win!
And that's the opponent BYU plays in the Alamo Bowl. That's kind of fun. So it all ties into the Cougars. Somehow.
Added context.
Yep. Women's Hoops finishes non-conference play 9-2 after beating Washington State 72-57 in Pullman Friday night. Do you feel like BYU is ready for Big 12 play now?
More so this year, certainly, than BYU was last year. And there are a couple of notable things, including what BYU is going to do to replace the incredible three-point shooter Kaylee Woolston, who decided to serve a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and it was kind of last minute. Like, what do you do?
She's in the Wire mission, Baltimore.
There you go. Delaney Gibb has been a revelation as a true freshman, scored a career-best 26 points in that win over Washington State.
Baller.
She's really good and has certainly eased some of the concerns of losing a really talented player like Kaylee Woolston.
But what if they were together? Oh, man, it's going to be dynamic.
BYU has better depth on this year's team than they did last year. That alone makes them more ready for Big 12 play. I think they're just more physical, and they are a way better second-half team than they were a year ago. BYU was an awful third-quarter team a season ago. Terrible.
Some of our audience is like, they play quarters?
Oh, man. Yes, in women's game, they play four quarters.
I think men should play quarters.
I like it. I think they should make that change on the men's side as well. Yeah. BYU, out of the halftime locker room this year, more often than not, gangbusters. They blow teams out of the water in the third quarter. There have been a couple of occasions where that has not happened. But that's a big and significant change, which hopefully helps them win a few more Big 12 games.
I like Lauren Davenport's play the last couple of games for the injured Mariah Hudgens.
Yes.
Delaney Gibb provides a huge, huge amount of skill and talent for BYU. They're more prepared than they were last year, given year two in the Big 12. And they went out and got Kemri Congdon as a senior veteran on the guard line.
Depth.
So it wasn't like two freshmen last year, right? With Whiting and Woolston. So, yeah, I'm excited to watch conference play with this group, and it starts a little sooner than the men, so we get into it.
That Kendra Gillespie for physicality down
absolutely.
Low.
Absolutely. Yeah. She used to play for Baylor in the Big 12. She knows, man.
Let's go. How about this? Maybe you saw it, maybe you didn't. Feast your eyes on the Pop-Tarts Bowl trophy, which, no kidding, is a fully functional toaster. Nice. The bowl committee teamed up with GE to make it possible. Incredible. I'm a little jealous that BYU doesn't have a chance to play for that, Jerem. So, question is BYU going to the right bowl game after you see this?
Is Cam Ward playing in the game? I haven't heard. Did he opt out?
He says he's playing.
Okay. Because Shador and Travis Hunter are playing for Colorado, that's a better situation. When I wanted potentially Miami or Clemson in the Pop-Tarts, it's because I didn't think those guys were going to play for Colorado. Now they're playing. No, that's fine. But that is fun. It is hecka gimmicky, but it is really fun.
You can literally toast a Pop-Tart in your bowl game trophy. Incredible. Who's sanitizing that thing, by the way?
That's what we learned.
Like, does the coach get in his office? If I'm the head coach of the winning team, I'm like, that's going to my office, and I'm going to use it as a toaster. I will use it as a toaster.
Because multimillionaires care about toasters.
just to have that piece of swag in your office. Like, hey, you want a Pop-Tart? Sweet. Throw it in that Pop-Tarts Bowl trophy.
Matt Campbell's like, yes, put that in there. BYU commit number one player in the country, A.J. DeBonso, was at the Suns Jazz game on Friday night at the Dell Center.
Thanks for saying his name the right way, Jerem.
You're welcome. I was there courtside when this happened, by the way. Two interacted pregame for a few minutes. During the game, Kevin Durant made an and-one, looked at A.J., kind of a nod. A.J. nods back. What'd you make of these moments?
I like that the connection was there, almost like a Obi-Wan and... Anakin Skywalker moment, like sensei and pupil. Yes, there was this connection.
Padawan,
like,
please.
Like, sorry, Padawan.
Thank you.
But yes, there was this nod from AJ. Like, I see you. And Kevin Durant's like, see, this is why I'm the GOAT. Okay, are you paying attention to me?
He's a GOAT. He's not the GOAT. He's the 7-1 GOAT, probably.
Yes. Yeah. I thought it was a fun moment. I'm glad that angle was happening so we could capture that and kind of and it was the day after AJ had been introduced to BYU. So obviously all the eyeballs are on AJ, Right. Everything he's doing. He played, by the way, over the weekend at Lehigh High School in a tournament and, not surprisingly, looked like a man among boys.
Yeah.
He was fantastic.
It was cool because BYU shot around that afternoon because they played Saturday night, and then they were there pregame watching warm-ups. Kevin Young. You know, I was there talking to the guys and whatnot. It was great. It was great. Cool moment for AJ. And in 2 years, he's going to be on that court playing either for or against the Jazz at some point. So it'll be awesome.
Forgive me, Star Wars Jedi Master, for forgetting the Padawan moniker.
That's okay. repent of your sins. BYU basketball with Kevin Young is this Thursday night at 8:30 Eastern as the Cougars continue non-conference play. Last game coming up Friday night, Florida A&M. Join us Thursday night, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
After the break, it's a loaded Mattich Monday. Trevor joins us to discuss the Heisman Trophy. Does he think the committee got it right and the voters? What's going on with the transfer portal, all the issues there, and who he's picking in the college football playoff this weekend? This is BYU Sports Nation. How this isn't the best case scenario for BYU. He's going to be playing against the Heisman Trophy winner.
Colorado has the star power and the skill. I would get matchups that I want away from Travis Hunter.
It is the second greatest bowl game that BYU has ever played. We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. You know what time it is. It's time for another Mattich Monday. ESPN College Football Insider, analyst, and expert Trevor Mattich joining us to break down BYU's, Alamo Bowl game once again and talk college football playoff, among other things. Trevor, how are you this fine Monday morning?
I am great. We got the Army-Navy game in. We got the Heisman Trophy locked up, and now we're moving forward into the bowls. It's fantastic.
Let's start with the Heisman Trophy conversation. Jerem and I were just talking about Travis Hunter and the excitement of BYU being able to play against now the current Heisman Trophy winner. But most importantly, do you feel like the selection committee got it right naming Travis Hunter the Heisman Trophy winner?
Spencer, I think they did. I think Ashton Jeanty had a historic season as a running back for Boise State, but we've seen great seasons from running backs. We've seen great seasons from quarterbacks. But what we haven't seen in really not just recent memory, but almost any memory, is what Travis Hunter did as a full-time defensive back, full-time wide receiver. He was a legitimate shutdown corner. And he was one of the top receivers in the nation with 92 catches. And so you put those two things together, you've got to go back to who? Jim Thorpe? to find somebody that's been that dominant on both sides of the ball. And you just can't ignore that, because we know that Genty deserved the Heisman. But this was a historic first in modern times to see a guy be that dominant over the course of full-time snaps on both sides of the ball. And to me, the travesty would have been had they not given it to Travis Hunter.
Bigger challenge, and how does it affect BYU's preparation? Travis Hunter, the receiver or the cornerback?
I think receiver, because he is – who's going to cover him? I mean, he's outstanding individually, and even when he's covered at 6'1", 185, he's very long. He's got a great catch radius, and he reaches around corners. He reaches up and over corners to make catches, and as he does it, it reminds you that he himself is a dominant cover corner. And that's important because he knows what messes with opposing defenders. He knows as a receiver what to do to get inside their head, to recognize their techniques and use their techniques and their assignments against them. As a receiver, he's extraordinarily difficult to stop because he knows exactly what you're trying to do to stop him because he's better at it than you are. And so that's the hard part. I think as a receiver is where he is the most dangerous.
Trevor, how does Travis Hunter now being the Heisman Trophy winner impact BYU's bowl game and the buildup and the national notoriety around it? Because we already felt like it was a huge deal and the spotlight was already on Colorado. So does it make that much of a difference? If so, how do you see it?
In my opinion, this is without question the most intriguing non-playoff bowl. Absolutely. And it's because of these two teams. These two teams are had great seasons. They both tied for first place in the regular season for the Big 12 lead, and they didn't make the championship game because of tiebreakers. And you put that together with the fact that nobody expected either team to be where they are. And then you add to it the star power that the Heisman Trophy winner brings. The Heisman Trophy winners don't typically play in bowl games that are not playoff games. And so the fact that he's playing Shedeur Sanders, quarterback for Colorado, is likely to be the first quarterback taken. And he's playing in this game. So all the star power on the Colorado side is going to draw a lot of eyeballs. Now, does BYU deserve those eyeballs too for their stars? Jake Retzlaff has had a fantastic season. You've got all kinds of players on BYU's team that are worth tuning into the bowl game to watch if you're just a casual fan. But those casual fans are going to really be fired up to watch the Heisman Trophy winner play in a non-playoff bowl game. And so that's going to be really exciting. It raises the profile, and it gives BYU a great opportunity if they're able to win this game and say, yeah, we beat the first quarterback taken in the draft and the Heisman Trophy winner on the same team in the bowl game. That would be a feather in their cap. Now, they still have to do it. It would be an amazing, really difficult quality win if they're able to get it. But the potential is there for this to be an absolute tremendous game for BYU.
Lots of news over the weekend regarding the transfer portal and the timing thereof. Marshall has to bow out of a game, their bowl game, because the coach leaves and 25 guys go in the portal. So Louisiana Tech has to replace him. The Penn State backup quarterback jumps into the portal, says the timing's unfortunate. What's the fix here for this? Because certainly the timing is a little awkward with the playoff.
It is awkward. When you talk about Bo Prabula, the backup quarterback for Penn State, you know, his team's in the playoff. Preston Stone, the backup quarterback for SMU, in the playoff, although Preston Stone has, as of now, said that he is entering the portal, but he will stay with his team through the playoffs. So that option is still there. But the problem you have with the portal and the timing is the start of the winter semester coming up. If you push it back too far, then guys that are playing into the postseason, really anybody, if you push it back too far, might not be able to start school on time in those schools that they want to go to. So these schedules, these calendars are real problems. But putting it now puts these players in a really difficult position. It puts coaches in an impossible position because now coaches are recruiting in the portal. They're recruiting their own guys. They're not focused as much as they could be on the bowl games and on the playoff, et cetera. And you put all that together, there's just too much to be able to do any one thing right. But I don't see a solution because the only solution is pushing it back. And if you push it back too far, you're squeezing players' opportunity to get in the portal, decide where they want to go, and then go there. You make them be de facto in the portal which they're not supposed to do, but have them be having their agent or representative asking around, looking where there are possibilities and where they might be able to go before the portal ever happens. And that's a distraction to them. And so I don't know what you do. To me, you err on the side of what's best for the student athlete. And what's best for the student athlete is to make it earlier, put the pressure on the coaches, give the students a chance to be able to see where they want to go, have time to be able to let that filter down into where all the different people might go, and then give them a chance to enter the winter semester on time. Other than that, I don't think there's any way that you can fix this thing.
Wow. It's a truthful answer. There is no easy fix right now, and so interesting to watch how the NCAA will navigate this in the years forthcoming. Trevor Maddich of ESPN is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Let's stay with the portal conversation, but focus it in on BYU. As you look at the roster and how it is shaping up next year for the Cougars as they look to replicate what has been an absolutely special season, where do you feel like the biggest needs are position-wise for BYU?
BYU needs to think like SMU did coming into the ACC. SMU knew that going from Group of Five into the Power Five, they would need to bulk up their size strength. Excuse me. SMU knew they would need to bulk up their size, strength, and depth on the line of scrimmage on both sides. And they did. They brought in a whole bunch of offensive linemen, some defensive linemen, and it's one of the reasons they were able to get to the ACC championship game and make the playoff. BYU is losing a whole bunch of big guys that can run, who played a lot of great football for them on the offensive line and the defensive line. And so it's not just a matter of bringing in a few guys. It's a matter of bringing in enough guys that you've got competition at all the positions across each offensive and defensive line, so that competition brings the best out in everybody. And so they've got work to do to rebuild both lines. And I think that's a really important thing. And to go back to fixing the portal, one thing that I think would help is if, and this I think will come, if you're able to sign players to multi-year contracts. In other words, somebody comes in and you're going to give them a certain amount of NIL and you say, okay, we'll give you this much if you sign for 1 year. We'll give you this much if you sign for 3 years. We'll guarantee this and this and this, but you have to guarantee for us. That means there's fewer guys available in the portal at the highest levels. And so I think that might be something that would work. But right now, BYU doesn't have that opportunity to do that because it's not collectively bargained. They'd have to get it voluntarily from the guys that are coming in. And so I'm not sure exactly how that would work, but it's one of those things that will shake out in the years to come.
Okay, the playoff begins this weekend. Weird that BYU won't play a bowl game before the playoff games. I don't know. This is exciting. It's all fun. It's all great. We wish BYU was in the playoffs. So let's walk through the playoff games, and you give us who you think is going to advance this weekend. Indiana at Notre Dame.
I think Notre Dame advances. I think Notre Dame running game has been dominant this year, which is a bit of a surprise. Coming into the season, Notre Dame had a brand new offensive line, essentially. They had six combined starts among their five offensive linemen, and they've developed into one of the best run-blocking offensive lines and pass-blocking in the nation. I think that's how to beat Indiana, because Indiana's passing attack is fantastic. The only game that it really stalled was Ohio State, but that was because there was noise at Ohio State. They went to the silent count. They didn't handle it very well. And quarterback Curtis Work wasn't able to have time to work. It's not just under pressure. He's good under pressure. It's that he was just smothered all the time. And so even though I expect Indiana to have that part resolved and perform better against the noise that they'll find at Notre Dame, I think ultimately it'll come down to Notre Dame pounding the football, and I think power will win this game.
SMU, BYU's best win at Penn State.
I think this is the place with the most likely upset because the most dynamic playmaker on either side of the ball is SMU quarterback Kevin Jennings. He has been a revelation as a passer. When he took over during the BYU game as the starting quarterback, we knew he could run the ball. But if you look at the last nine games of the season, including the ACC championship game, he averaged almost 300 yards per game as a passer. And for some of those games, he didn't run the ball much at all. And I think the fact that he can run around and make those plays, especially off schedule, will give Penn State's defense fits. And keep this in mind, that the narrative on Penn State is that they struggle against highly ranked teams. And remember that they lost against Ohio State at home earlier in the season. If SMU can jump out on them early, you will take some of the air out of the sails of that crowd, and it will be a whiteout at Penn State. And so I think that SMU has the best chance to get an upset, and I think they do.
Clemson at Texas.
This is a tough game to call. I think Texas is not well suited to go far into the playoffs, but I think they're going to beat Clemson. The reason that they're not suited to go far into the playoffs is because of the nature of their passing attack. In the SEC, there are 18 quarterbacks this year with 100 or more pass attempts. Quinn Ewers, the Texas quarterback, is last, 18th, in air yards per attempt, which means how far the ball travels down the field before it gets to the intended receiver. This is very much a short passing game, and Georgia beat them twice by coming up and matching up right from the line of scrimmage a lot of the time, not all the time, but a lot of the time, with those short routes. There was nowhere to throw the ball quickly for Quinn Ewers, and then they combined for 13 sacks in the Georgia 2 wins over Texas. And it was because he had to hold the ball longer than he wanted to. This is the problem for Texas. Clemson's defense is not as talented as Georgia's, but they can do a lot of the same things that Georgia did. I think Texas is good enough to get past them. I think they'll do it mostly with the running game and a stout defense. But going forward, I think Texas might struggle more than people think.
And last but not least, Tennessee at Ohio State.
This is fascinating. And the big picture on this is that Ohio State just lost to Michigan for the fourth year in a row. And Michigan had 5 wins on the season and no offense to be found anywhere. And yet they went to Columbus and beat Ohio State and then planted their flag on the O at midfield in Columbus. It was a big mess afterwards, but Michigan rubbed Ohio State's nose in it. So the heat's on the Buckeyes. And if they don't win a national championship or at least get to the national championship game, this will be the ugliest 365 days in recent memory in Columbus, Ohio. But here comes Tennessee, that is an outstanding running team. They are known as a great downfield passing attack. And during non-conference games early in the season, they were. But during SEC play, they actually ran it twice as much as they threw it, because they just weren't that dynamic throwing the ball against SEC defenses. Well, this Ohio State defense, one of the best in the nation. I think this will be low scoring. I think it'll be ugly, but I think that Ohio State is going to pull this out.
Trevor, great stuff. I can't help but focus on that SMU at Penn State game and then remember that James Franklin is 1-15 against top 10 teams as an FBS coach, 1-12 against Penn State. If he loses at home to SMU, Happy Valley will be a very unhappy valley. I don't know how you recover from something like that if he loses at home.
This is Happy Valley. We're the Happy Valley, Trevor.
Right, exactly. Get your Happy Valley. Excuse me. Get me all joked up. Get your Happy Valley straight. That's what you need to know. Understand your Happy Valleys.
Well said. Trevor, always great insight. We appreciate the time. Cannot wait to watch the college football playoff games. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Trevor Mattis of ESPN on BYU Sports Nation. He's right. Get your Happy Valley right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If you missed any interview, shows, games, you can find them on BYUSN.com, the free BYU TV app for all your BYU TV sports content on demand.
4 BYU football players named AP All Big 12 plus 1 Cougar in the NFL getting closer to a career high. Details on the way in headlines. This is BYU Sports Nation. Happy Valley!
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social for content throughout the day, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. It feels like we should do headlines.
Let's do it. 4 BYU football players named to the AP All Big 12 teams over the weekend. Kicker Will Farron on the first team. Kick returner Keelan Marion. Offensive tackle Caleb Etienne. Defensive end Tyler Batty named to the second team. Congratulations.
Colorado wide receiver slash defensive back Travis Hunter wins the Heisman Trophy on Saturday. He's the new slash in Boulder, Jerem. Eat your heart out, Cordell Stewart. Heisman Hunter and Colorado will play BYU in the Alamo Bowl on Saturday, December 28th in San Antonio, Texas. This will be the first time BYU has played the Heisman Trophy winner in a bowl game.
Did they call Cordell Stewart slash?
Is that because he played quarterback slash wide receiver slash running back.
Interesting.
Yes.
In the NFL, right? Did he play receiver at
He did a little bit. He was mostly quarterback at Colorado.
Yeah, I remember the Hail Mary.
He did some things, but he was
awesome.
Slash in the NFL.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. With the Steelers, right? Cougars in the NFL. Kyle Van Noy, 3 tackles, a sack for the Ravens, and the 35-14 win over the Giants. Van Noy now 9 sacks on the season, tied last year for the career high in 1 year. Sione Takitaki, 4 tackles for the Patriots in a 30-17 loss to the Cardinals. Chris Brooks had a carry for 6 yards and a reception for 9 yards in a Packers win over my Seahawks. It was pathetic.
Tyler Allgeier and the Falcons in Las Vegas to play the Raiders tonight on Monday Night Football. Allgeier, 102 carries on the season, 508 yards, 3 touchdowns. Those are really good averages for Tyler. Give him the ball more!
Men's basketball beat Wyoming 68-49 at the Delta Center to improve the 8-2 in non-conference play. Whit Magg, Dawson Baker combined for 22 off the bench to help lead BYU to the win. Trevin Nell led the Cougars with 15. Richie Saunders left the game with a busted lip and concussion, according to his Instagram a few minutes into the game. ESPN's Joe Lunardi currently has BYU out. Ms. Brackett, we talked about our concern level of that earlier. BYU has one non-conference game left Friday against Florida A&M before starting Big 12 play on December 31st.
BYU women's basketball beats Washington State on the road in Pullman 72-57 on Friday night.
Do you like that court?
No.
It's kind of weird.
I do not like it. Too many logos, man. Good grief.
Wait, WCC and Pac-12 logo
yes.
on the court?
What's happening there? And the multicolor? No, I do not like it.
It's super weird to have both logos on the court.
Agreed.
What? Like, they're in both leagues, but that's weird.
Delaney Gibb, not fazed by all of the logo madness, scored a career-high 26 points on 11 of 18 shooting. Also had 6 rebounds and 4 assists with that victory. BYU 9-2 to close out non-conference play. They open up Big 12 play on Saturday. This Saturday. Against Arizona at the Marriott Center.
I can't get over both logos on the court.
It's just dumb. It's dumb.
You know what isn't dumb? BYU announced the 2025 schedule for devotionals. That's what you thought was coming up next, right? And forums. BYU football head coach Kalani Sitake will be the speaker.
I love it.
On March 11th. What's March 11th? That's the Big 12 tournament week.
That's a big week.
It's going to be awesome.
All right, Kalani will get you set for the week.
Get your spiritual on. Let's go. Yeah.
Before BYU goes and exercises some demons.
Shockingly, we've never been asked to speak in Diva or Forum. I don't think that invitation's coming anytime soon.
After the break, do all of you have any concern at all that BYU men's basketball currently sits outside of Joe Lunardi's bracket? This is BYU Sports
What's
Nation.
Today again?
Welcome back to BYU Sports Station. We are live in Studio B, and we welcome you back with our question of the day. Do you have any concern that BYU men's basketball is currently outside of Joe Lunardi's bracket right now? Not an NCAA tournament team as of December 16th. What?
Oh, my gosh!
At GVUDM on X answers, yep. Committee showed last year that they emphasize out-of-conference resumes, and BYU doesn't have any out-of-conference resume to speak of. Going to have to play really well in conference to make the tournament, and very low ceiling on what kind of seed they can get.
I see the point of like...
Non-conference, yes.
I see the point that BYU is not going to have a non-conference win of note. They didn't play a tough enough schedule to have enough games to really do that. They played 3 that mattered. Well, I would argue 2, actually, because if NC State doesn't get better, that's a quad 3. Hopefully that becomes a quad 2 in the ACC with the quality there.
Hope so.
Because BYU doesn't have a quad 1 or quad 2 win so far. BYU played an easier schedule. They had to kind of scramble with the new head coach, and you don't know what kind of roster you're going to get. You know you're going to play a super tough conference schedule, so how tough does non-conference need to be?
What if BYU's 11-10 in quad 1 and quad 2 games by the end of the season? How much will non-conference matter then?
It depends whether the committee values non-conference anything. Or if they go, well, we're looking at conference.
They played and they 20 play conference super- games.
I can see the point. If they value non-conference, then BYU would be in a stick situation. Because what kind of ceiling do they have on what kind of seed they can get? That I think that is valid. BYU does need to have a very good Big 12 play
is a concern,
to get a decent seed.
But if you play well enough in Big 12 play, how much will that impact seeding?
Depends what the committee values with non-conference or not. So here's a question. What's a good seed? What are we saying? Is that 6+?
So I'd say anything 7 or better to me is a good seed.
Playing a 2 in the second round is tough, right? Playing a 3 tries to get to, like, ideally you get a 5 and you're playing a 4 in the second round should you win, or a 13, right? But the reality is, you know, the way as currently constituted, we're giving BYU time, but like injuries and toughness in the Big 12, like, would you take a 6 seed right now, given what we've seen so far?
1,000,000%.
I would too. I was hoping for a little higher. I thought that we didn't anticipate injuries. I thought Cannon Catching would shoot a little better, but he has lots of time still to figure this
out. I'd take a 7 seed right now.
You'd take a 7 right now? I probably would right now. Because we haven't seen BYU against tough competition quite yet. We're about to. Like, BYU plays Arizona State.
We saw BYU play against Ole Miss. Where is Ole Miss in the bracket? I did not look.
Ole Miss is good. That's the one of the two matchups. Yeah, BYU played a good game there. Went to OT. Had a chance to win in regulation at the end there. Yeah, so of our two looks, yeah. Providence, obviously, that's the low point. The high is Ole Miss, that you competed well against a very good team.
Ole Miss right now is listed as a 6 seed.
Yeah. And BYU went to OT.
So, in position to win the game.
Yeah, you just need to – we can't pull the Boise State, though, here, can we? Oh, look at the close loss. Wow.
Ole Miss, Miss is like an incredible team, and BYU has a quality loss.
Yeah, you hope Ole Miss is one of the better teams in the SEC. SEC basketball looking better than Big 12 basketball as of right now. As of right now.
At It's a Jelly One on X answers, new coach, new scheme, new players.
Yep.
Coach needs to have them ready to go for the last half of conference schedule and just not lay an egg in the first half.
Yeah, if you can go 500, you're in position.
You can go 500 for the entire season. Great. You go 10-10 in Big 12
You're
play.
Talking Big 12 play, not the whole
season.
Yeah.
Go 10-10 in Big 12 play, and you are 19-12 going into Kansas City.
You should be in.
Shot at winning a 20th game in the first round.
Because your net will be top 30, we anticipate.
Yes. We're buying into the strength of schedule that much in the conference.
Yes.
So many quad one.
It's not like last year, though. It isn't. Like, the Big 12 right now is not. It could change. BYU's 53 in net right now. Last year was number 1 at this point, I think. So it's a little different.
Yeah, what will the Big 12 be when you get into that?
Into March.
Yes. By the time you get to March.
We hope it improves because Kansas and Arizona has played a really tough schedule, but they've lost 5 times.
Yeah, what's wrong with Arizona? That's a real concern.
They're not even ranked.
But listen, Baylor, Houston, Kansas, all still
Iowa State's the best team, Doug.
They're all still good. They're all still elite. So.
But it's not the 5 ranked teams in the top 10 thing from the preseason, right? The expectations were high, let's be honest.
It's looking more like a little bit like last year, where some of the teams that we thought were going to be really good are not as good.
And perhaps that opens the door for BYU.
Which it did last year.
To be in the top kind of 8, right?
Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. At Why Not BYU on X answers, doesn't currently matter. Just look at what early rankings taught us about in football. Mic drop.
Hey, it's not wrong. Just in non-conference, BYU had that SMU win.
What's going to carry basketball?
There's no win that will carry basketball.
NC State's not going to do it.
It'll be in-conference play. And you hope in game 2, you go to Houston and you upset the Red Cougars and you go, whoa, that's a nice win. Wow, look at BYU. Because we've seen the high of BYU is like, oh, they can play really well and compete with Ole Miss. But we don't have a win to validate it quite yet. Those wins need to start stacking up.
BYU didn't get the win against the tournament team in non-conference play. They had 2 opportunities, Ole Miss and Providence.
Yeah.
That Ole Miss game, that one stings extra now looking back on the entirety of the non-conference slate.
Sure. Is it going to cost BYU in the end? No, not for the tournament.
Maybe a seed line?
But a seed line, maybe. Hopefully not.
Like, I don't think it hurts, like, the overall ceiling. Like, oh, BYU can't be better than a 9 seed now because they didn't play anybody in non-conference. No.
Yeah. All right. Check out the latest Royal Blue podcast. Lauren McClain joined by the Collies, Austin, Dylan, and Zach, as they discuss their athletic journeys, transition to life after football, and the unique bond that unites their family. You can find it where you get your podcast.
After the break, our Rise is shout out to 2 different Hoopers who put on a show this weekend. This is BYUSN. Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Delaney Gibb for a career-high 26 in the win at Washington State. She is an absolute baller. And then Mwemp Mag, 11 points off the bench for BYU. Struggled a little bit to fight through some things. Boom, he was ready. Made three threes in a big moment.
Big-time scores over the weekend. Our thanks to today's guest, ESPN's Trevor Maddich.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. The conversation continues 24-7 on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. All our shows are on the free BYU TV app.
For Jerem, I am Spencer. Shout out to Alan Astle. Go Cougs!